This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
16 minutes after 11, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban. Welcome to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It is Thursday morning and my guest this morning, Brother Idris Khamisa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Maulana?
Very, very well. Alhamdulillah. Allah shukr. Idris bhai, how are you keeping?
I'm very, very well. Allah is so merciful. I mean, who would believe that we are ending Ramadan? Can you believe it, Maulana?
Yes, Idris bhai, I was about to ask you that how does it feel that next week, this time, instead of us making salam, we would probably be making Eid Mubarak?
Well, can you believe it? You know, and you see, you know, for a kid who's 1 year old, one day is like a lifetime, right?
Yes.
And for us, at our age, a whole month looks like one day.
Allah Akbar. Yes, the whole month feels like just a day, just feels like a week or a day that has passed, and we haven't even really gotten into Ramadan properly, you know, as a person would say, getting into and folding up your sleeves. By the time we've done that, the month is over already.
Absolutely, and this is the point, you see. The point is we must value time, we appreciate it, and gives us an indication that when you compare our life on this material world and the life in the hereafter, you must understand that, you know, we must make best use of our time, inshallah.
Inshallah, yes, we have to value this time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. Use it very, very carefully, budget it well, and make the most out of the time that we have. As our time in Ramadan is limited, and it's a lesson for us that our time in this world is also limited.
No, absolutely, inshallah. I mean, there's so many people who have passed away now in the Mubarak month of Ramadan, and may Allah grant them the highest status in Jannah. We have no idea when we're going to go, and death is not the sole preserve of the aged or the sick. Even those people that have given a clean bill of health from doctors can need the surgery, and you know, Allah knows what's next, you know.
Mm-hmm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all good health. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us from terminal illness, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all those who are ill and seek complete shifa.
Inshallah, and it's a wonderful dua, and we make dua for everyone, for the ummah, inshallah. And we, many of us are so spoiled in the month of Ramadan. And I remember last night, you know, I was at Melanson Mosque, and Maulana Naeem Motala gave such a powerful, powerful dua, you know. Alhamdulillah, he's really following the example of his beloved father-in-law, Maulana Yunus Patel. May Allah grant him the highest status in Jannah. You know, reminding us about, you know, people in Syria, Somalia, and these duas are, you know, taking place everywhere. But the point is, you know, and this is a point, you know, and I get so emotional about this, that sometimes we get so detached from other people's problems. We're so busy pursuing ourselves, our own enrichment. We want our name to be on the wall for fame and glory. We are running around from pillar to post. And as a result, you know, we're not moved at all by the challenges of people elsewhere, even our own neighborhood. And, you know, and this is the point. The point is that we are this ummah, you know, we are part of the ummah, and you're part of the ummah, it has concomitant responsibilities. It's about responding with love and affection. It's about, you know, going there, helping people. When someone is sick, you must be able to stop your life and visit them. You know, whatever you're doing, if you cannot stop your life for people around you, then what's the use of your life? What kind of legacy you're leaving behind? And this is something we need to inculcate in our children. We need to inculcate in members of the family that we must never, ever, for example, postpone the visit to a sick person. We must not, like for example, the other day, you know, I'm not saying I'm the highest example worthy of emulation, but the other day I was, decided that I must visit this old elderly person, Mr. Asma, and but sadly I went there when they said to me, it is not visiting hours, and I left because of Tarawih. I spent a few days in Johannesburg, and yesterday I learned that he passed away, you know, but at least I felt happy in my heart that I tried to visit him. And this is a point. It's about selflessness. It's about compassion. It's about empathy. Because empires are really built in the hearts of people, nowhere else. And we know exactly who we are, really, you know. So, you know, and may Allah bless in the ulama, and bless, you know, because you all have a huge, huge responsibility to heighten the sensitivity, to be then yourselves. And I'm not saying it's a burden of responsibility to be really the role models, to inspire, to dynamism, to inspirational talks, to your own conduct. The ummah that requires a lot of uplifting, an ummah that is in pain, the ummah that is bleeding, an ummah that has families that are completely dysfunctional, an ummah in the month of Ramadan who are talking about separation, an ummah that has forgotten its purpose. And this is the point, you know, we need to do this. We need to start healing. We need to be more serving. We need to be more open-minded. And the other thought, Maulana, whilst I'm at it, you know, I was just thinking, which I would like to talk about, it's about our organizations. How come our organizations are not doing what they're supposed to do? Or how come our organizations is about, we are striving for leadership, but there's no leadership? What are we doing and what should we be doing? And I hope, if you have a chance, we can talk about that, inshallah.
Yes, it is by looking at the services that the ulama are rendering around the globe. We find numerous ulama on Twitter as well, and they sometimes highlight the programs that they are involved in and the work that they are doing here locally in South Africa as well. Alhamdulillah, we have our ulama who are busy all of the time with the work of deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them. And the different forum that they engage with, and the different people that they speak to, the different types of sacrifices that they make. And, you know, just the other day, a sister posted a dua that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on the families of the ulama who give up their fathers and who give up their husbands for the sake of the benefit of the ummah, for the sake of communal benefit. And we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on these families of the ulama, the wives of the ulama, the children of the ulama, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them and reward them for their sabr and their patience in the light of their husbands and their fathers leaving the home and needing to travel ever so often and benefiting the ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant ease, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them tremendously. It is also with regards to the organization, an interesting point that you raised with regards to the runnings of the organizations as well. And perhaps I would like to add a positive note as well to the program towards the end. And perhaps we could share, and you could share with me, how your Eid day is spent and how you use that Eid day to build bonds and relationships, and how our listeners as well could use that Eid day to make it into a positive end to the month of Ramadan.
Yes, you know, the okay, let's talk about the Eid thing, Eid first, right? I think it's important. You know, I normally, and I talk about we, alhamdulillah, normally we spend our whole Eid day with the family, you know, or the extent of my brothers and their children. We all spend Eid together, and I've got five other brothers in Poshepston. And we would, for example, on Eid day, we'll have breakfast in one home, lunch in another, and supper in another home. And may Allah bless my sisters-in-law also for the commitment. They work so hard. And what is very, very gratifying that we are together, and what I'm also very gratified by my nephews and nieces, that they love to spend the time around us, chatting with us, laughing with us, and the bonding takes place. And of course, we go after Eid Salah. We go, you know, we go to the graveyard. We make dua for all our parents who passed away, for our grandparents, for the ummah, and we go there. It's also a very emotional experience, an experience reminding us of our own fragility, our own mortality, and we make dua for them, and we chat, and so we spend the time together. It's a very, very pleasant experience. We have our tears in the morning thinking about our loved ones, but it's a very joyous occasion, and, you know, it's an occasion that is filled with a lot of love and affection. It's an occasion where the bonding between members of the family is reinforced. It's a bonding in which it is so gratifying to note that in the main, you know, alhamdulillah, the sister-in-laws and everyone now, our nephews and nieces, they work so hard, they send parcels to other members of the other families, and it's a wonderful experience. And what I would say to people in the end, you know, no matter what you achieve as an individual, if you got no emotional support from your family, then what's the use of it all? And we need to reconnect, and I think it saddens me that in some homes you find, whether it is at the behest of a daughter-in-law, whether it is the behest of one son-in-law, whatever, they do not go to their own parents' place. And I mean, it's hard. You know, it's sad. I mean, when you talk to people, you know, there is no place in Islam for my happiness. Our Nabi, imagine if our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, imagine he was not concerned about the ummati. Even when he was leaving the world, he was concerned about the ummati. He said, worse than that, he hoped he could take the pangs of death for his whole ummah. And look at that love, that compassion, and all of that. And therefore, it is hurting to find that when you're dealing with people, with the issues, the marital issues, and they giving summons to their families the month of Ramadan, they're talking about talaq in the month of Ramadan, they're not prepared to stretch out their hand and understand that in this world, you are going to be tested. Allah loves those that He tests. You are going to be tested. We are not here to be part of a Disney World scenario, you know. We are not here in this world to titillate ourselves. We are not in this world that we'll have no aches and pains. And Allah promises us that He'll test us. And Allah loves us. So it's a time, and I really want to urge the listeners, I want to urge everyone, don't wait for the day of Eid to forgive someone. Do it today. Who knows whether you'll be alive or the person you want to forgive will be alive. For example, I went for a janaza yesterday, and Mr. Javeri, what a wonderful human being. May Allah grant him the highest status in Jannah. And I think the day before, his nephew or someone passed away. Nazir Javeri's brother passed away. And this is the nature of life. You know, nature of life, how would you like to be remembered? What impact are you having? You know, and I think there is no place for selfishness. I really pray that the day of Eid is a happy day. There is no fighting, no bullying, nothing. You go there. There are some people that are in hospital. May Allah give them shifa. You know, my beloved brother Mustafa Patel from Roshni, make dua for him. He's in the shifa. He's in Lenmed Hospital. There are so many people in hospital. My first best friend, Muhammad Agji, from Poshepson, he's in shifa. And really, when I saw him, I cried. It was as if I was visiting myself. There are so many people in hospital. May Allah make it easy for our sisters that are going through challenges, to our brothers who are going through challenges, to our children who cannot reach out to the parents, to our parents who cannot reach out to the children, to everyone that is going through whatever it is. Remember, Allah has not forsaken you. It's a time to work together. Our families must come together. It does not mean if you disagree, you have to be disagreeable. So alhamdulillah, Eid for us is such a beautiful, joyous occasion. I remember when I used to come back from Poshepson and, you know, tell my father, my beloved mother, that it was so nice to be together, and they say to me, alhamdulillah, it was so good to have all of us there together, alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah. Rizwai, this occasion of Eid and this occasion of Ramadan, one of the things that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned concerning Ramadan is that the person is wretched who allows the month of Ramadan to pass without getting his sins forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And forgiveness of sins will never be complete until the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also forgive us for our transgressions of their rights. It is not only seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is one, an important part of it, but also together with that, seeking forgiveness from the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ramadan would also not be complete, and Ramadan would also not be perfected for us until we seek forgiveness from the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yes, obviously, has to be done before Eid, because by the time the day of Eid comes, Ramadan is over already. If you want to be recipients of that grand prize on the Eid night after Ramadan, then we have to seek forgiveness of our fellow creation, of our fellow man, our parents, our siblings, our spouses, our friends, our neighbors, whoever we may think that we have wronged in one way or the other, we have to seek their forgiveness, and inshallah, by that means, gain the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely when it comes to the day of Eid, inshallah.
Absolutely, what you are saying is so true. There is no place in Islam for personal piety at the expense of the family around you. You can be awake the whole night reading a tahajjud salah, may Allah bless you for that. But if you are acrimonious towards your neighbors, the members of your family, you're harsh towards them, you hurt them every day. You know, Allah loves those that are good to people. We are here, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so loving, so caring with children, with animals, with all of Allah's creation. Now that's the point. The point is this, that notion, you know, as long as I'm reading my five times a day salah, I'm giving my zakah, but that you do for yourself. Now, what are you doing for people around you? And I think, you know, and I'm so glad you referred to that, and therefore, I'm not surprised, none of us is surprised, that the reward for those that have, you know, good relationships with people around them, alhamdulillah, is something only Allah knows, you know.
Yes, it is why we can perhaps invite our listeners as well to join in the conversation. You can call in on 011-854-1548, or you can SMS to Brother Idris's cell number 0828251991.
They must do that. And we would like them to share with us their experiences of Eid, what challenges they are facing, and what any questions they might have. Because you know, one of the things that I find, Maulana, is that many people who go through challenges, they think, you know, they think that no one is going through what they're going through. You know, and sometimes, you know, some of them may be surprised when I tell them, you know what, I listen to you, I listen to your challenges, and I'm not saying they're not great, but compared to the many others that I listen to, your challenges are nothing compared to the others. They are nothing compared to the others. So I think people need to understand that. And we would like our listeners, really, to phone in, to interact with us, inshallah. And maybe in the last 10 minutes or so, we can talk about organizations or whenever you feel you want to do that, Maulana.
Yes, inshallah, Aziz. Share with us your thoughts and your ways of reconciling before the day of Eid or on the day of Eid. How do you spend your time, and do you go out of your way to make an effort to ask for maaf, ask for forgiveness, and reconcile with your Muslim brothers and with your family members as well? It is while we are awaiting those calls, perhaps you could go on to the discussion concerning organizations, inshallah, and as the calls come in, we'll take them.
You see, Maulana, one of the you know, critical things that if you look at our organizations, and in fact, I spoke on one other radio station this morning about a similar thought. I remember some years ago, I was one of the directors of the South African Associate Independent School some years ago, right? And I remember there were people that should come together in the same car. They were friends, and they should come for the meeting. But in that meeting, they were quite vociferous in the disagreement with each other. And the moment the meeting was over, they were like normal. They were great friends again. And that's an incredible maturity on their part. The point is this: people must understand that we as Muslims have never owned any institution. We are the custodians. We must be prepared to be receptive to criticism. You must be prepared to hear another voice. You must be prepared that other people have other opinions. And we must be able to have robust debates for the sake of the betterment of the institution. And you find that sometimes in many of our organizations, there is a core group. It's almost like a cartel, like a group that is controlling things. It's almost like, you know, autocratic and dictatorial. And there's something that, you know, it worries me, because organizations can only grow when we pursue excellence. Organizations can only grow that no matter who you are prepared to learn from others, no matter how noble your objectives are. And it's important that, you know, at our meetings, meetings mustn't be there almost to rubber stamp what the chairperson is saying or whoever. It must be an opportunity to discuss the processes. There has to be transparency. And we will, and if you're doing it for Allah, then you'll be prepared to accept feedback. Now, it does not mean now that you, if you have no idea how things work and every time something is said, you question it. I don't mean that way. It must be done in a mature way. It must be done with understanding and with the contribution of making it work. And we find our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make sure with others, used to consult with others and when he makes strategic decisions. And this is what worries me. You know, it really worries me that the vibrancy in our organizations, you know, I don't generalize, but, you know, what I've been exposed to, what I've heard of, it worries me purely because we're not prepared to indulge in robust debates. We're not prepared to do that, you know.
It is by the whole aspect or the whole essence behind making an organization successful is ikhlas, it is sincerity, it is doing what we are doing only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you have that as our one motivating factor, whether you are the Amir or whether you are the field worker or whether you are the lowest person in the rank, but if your intention is only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then inshallah the organization will be successful. And there will be mutual consultation, there will be shura, and there will be, and you will be safe from all harms, inshallah.
Yeah, absolutely, because remember, in anything that you do, if you are doing it for yourself, then you want people to massage your ego. You want people to support you. You do not want anyone, you'll have caucus meetings, you'll meet in the side. You'll do all of those things. But if you're doing it for Allah, then you will be able to take criticism from the public and anyone else. If you are wrong, you say, yes, I was wrong, my beloved brother. Thank you so much. I mean, when Abu Bakr Siddiq, when he took up the post of the Khalifa, I mean, what point did he raise? He said, if I do not follow Allah and his beloved Rasul, you raise the issue with me. Finish. You know, I'm not worthy, right? And did not get those positions because all they wanted those positions, and there's no barakah if you do that. So our organization, and this is the point, we must learn to be far more rigorous in our debates. We must be able to talk about issues. We must ask ourselves in anything that we do. Even, for example, we need to look at, you know, our own methodology in our madrasas, in our Muslim schools, wherever, in the talks that we give also. Are we connecting with our musallis? What should we be doing differently? How can we connect with them? You know, do we prepare what we do? Do we truly prepare? Or we give the same talk every year the same way? Yes, the content matter itself, the substance will be the same. But you are dealing with a dynamically different audience. And we must, as Muslims, pursue excellence. We must not pursue, pursue mediocrity. And it's very, very critical. Because our children need to look at us as examples worthy of the highest emulation. You know?
There's many guidelines that have been published on the internet as well, and we found about running successful Islamic organizations. And one of the basic other traits of a successful organization is the transparency that is found in all of the dealings and in all of the activities as well. When there is a great deal of transparency, then inshallah Aziz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes all of that doubt that could perhaps creep in to the hearts of the brothers, and then there's mutual understanding and there's unity when there is transparency.
No, absolutely. If you do it that way, then it avoids suspicion. Then you don't have people having this whispering campaign. You know, I really commend people, the gun organization. It's very, very demanding. It's very easy for the man.
Sorry to interrupt you. We have a caller who's waiting on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay.
Okay, let's carry on to the next caller, inshallah. Let's get on to the next caller. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, I'll ask my engineer, Brother Ziad, to try and get those callers back on. Rizba, are you still there? Okay, I think the lady didn't realize that it was live on air.
Okay, okay.
Unless you understand Zulu, Rizba?
A little bit, you know, I'm not that fluent. I knew enough Zulu in the shop to sell some goods, you know, when I was a kid, you know. But if people speak, I'll have some idea, you know.
Okay, okay. I don't know if the callers are still on the line. Let's try again, Brother Ziad. Let's put the call on the line. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, there's nobody else on the line. I think we can continue with our discussion, inshallah.
Yeah, Ji. So, you were saying that, okay.
Transparency.
So, what I'm saying is this, that, you know, Islam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a perfect example. Allah loves excellence. And we need to pursue excellence. We need to make sure that we run our organizations well, that in our organization we are constantly reminding ourselves as to why the organization has been set, to what extent we're fully fulfilling the amana, to what extent we're giving the dynamic leadership it needs, to what extent we're embracing new ideas. And these are fundamental things, you know.
Mm-hmm. Also all of the time reviewing as an organization what we have done, if we have engaged in any sort of activity, to sit down with the whole committee once again, review what we have done, where were our shortcomings, where our strengths, and what do we need to change in the future.
That's really important. You've got to do an ongoing thing. You know, what they say in life, you rather do a biopsy rather than an autopsy, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Every time you need to do it, whatever activities you have, and you can take it from there.
Yes, inshallah, Aziz. Okay, we're going to take a short break now, it is fine, and then we'll come back just after that. To our listeners, you're listening to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International, inshallah. Coming up after the break, we're going to continue with the program and the discussion. Stay tuned to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International.
Enjoy your Eid with the following specials from Mar Spice. Pure Castello Saffron, 10 packets, 199 Rand. Moy River Butter, 21.99. Farm Gold Ghee, 2 kilos, 98 Rand. Mezina, 9 Rand 99 per kilo. Dawat Basmati Rice, 5 kilos, 105 Rand. We stock a wide selection of baking ingredients and decorations. Come visit us at Mar Spice, 33 Concord Place, Lanesia, or phone us on 011-854-3256 behind Jamia Masjid.
In a world constantly being torn apart by man-made and natural disasters, the Al Imdad Foundation has been at the forefront of providing humanitarian relief to those mired in adversity. This year marks a decade of our unwavering service to humanity. Working on 5 continents, we have touched the lives of widows, orphans, and destitute families in over 67 countries. Visit alimdad.com or call 0861-786-243. Wonder Dates are excited to announce the arrival of a variety of fresh dates from Medina, Dubai, Egypt, and Namibia. Wonder Dates have a wide variety such as Rotab, Medjool, Mabroom, Sukari, Ajwa, Safawi, etc. Visit us at 71 Donkin Road, Seacow Lake, Durban. Contact us on 031-577-5023 or visit our website, wonderdates.co.za. Wonderdates, bringing the freshness of the farm to your home.
Loads of ways to save this winter with Pick and Pay. Pampers, new baby value pack minis, 72s. Pampers, active baby value pack midis, 62s and 58s. Pampers, active baby value pack maxi, 54s or 50s. Pampers, active baby value pack maxi plus, 48s. Pampers, active baby value pack junior, 40s. Pampers, active baby value pack extra large, 44s. Only at R119.99. Pick and Pay white sugar, 2.5 kilo at R20.99. Clover, natural cheddar or gouda lunchbox portions, 300 grams for R29.99. Stock, country spread medium fat spread tubs, 1 kg, buy 2 for R45. Take 500% pure blend juice, 1.5 litre at R16.99. Save even more. Visit the kiosk and print your smart shopper vouchers only at Pick and Pay. Always there for you. Prices valid from 1st August to 4th August. Prices apply to Gauteng stores only.
Classic Creations have just launched their new classy and contemporary couture range of abayas for Eid 2013. Their exciting range of kaftans, scarves, and designer men's and boys' kurtas have just arrived. Visit them at their newly refurbished boutique at 15 Status Street, Extension 3, Lanesia. Classic Creations, the ultimate in abayas. 011-854-4195. That's 011-854-4195.
We're in the heart of winter, and water is scarce. For some, a little bit is a blessing. For others, a downpour is miserable, cold, and unbearable. It's in this time of need when you can assist those less fortunate. This Ramadan, every second counts. Donate your zakah, fitra, lila, and sadaqah, and warm a heart this winter. Call Islamic Relief on 0800-111-898 or visit islamicrelief.co.za. Islamic Relief. We make a world of difference.
A beautiful wedding like this, and not one beautiful abaya that gets my attention. Look over there. She looks like she's from somewhere far. Her abaya is stunning. She must have bought it overseas.
You're both wrong. I do all my abaya shopping at Exclusive Abayas. Exclusive Abaya stocks garments made of the finest fabric at a price that's so affordable, it will amaze you. 072-911-5895 or visit them at 29 Kaku Avenue, Extension 1, Lanesia.
Yo ya no quiero, gracias.
Yo que estaba cero para mí es aquí es un buen jugador.
Está bien, me rindo.
No matter where you come from or what language you speak, Bera's Motor Spares is the place to go. We stock motor spares and car accessories of high standards at an impressive price. Years of experience in the motor spares industry ensures that you get the best advice. Bera's Motor Spares, 48 Peter 8th Avenue, Alberton North.
Call us on 011-901-3100.
Yo ya no quiero, gracias.
Yo estaba cero para mí, es aquí es un buen jugador.
Está bien, me rindo.
No matter where you come from or what language you speak, Bera's Motor Spares is the place to go. We stock motor spares and car accessories of high standards at an impressive price. Years of experience in the motor spares industry ensures that you get the best advice. Bera's Motor Spares, 48 Peter 8th Avenue, Alberton North.
Call us on 011-901-3100.
The onslaught against Islam and the Muslim Ummah has become the pastime of not only the enemies, but also those ignorant of Islam. This bold initiative is a collaboration between the Middle East and South Africa in the launch of a global educative website dispelling the myths and stereotypes of Dinul Islam. Contributors to the website will be high-profile Islamic scholars, and the project will receive international exposure. Support this project by suggesting a name for the website and stand a chance to win a Tamar Khajur Hamper worth 3,000 Rand from the Awani Date Factory. Email your suggestions together with all your details to hbobat, that's H-B-O-B-A-T, at radioislam.co.za or fax it to 011-854-7024.
You are tuned into Radio Islam.
Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International, and welcome back to our guest this morning, Brother Idris Khamisa. Idris, by we're discussing organizations and the running of organizations. Any other issues that actually come up because of the mismanagement of organizations?
I think what is important is this. I think from the homes, parents must encourage their children to get involved with NGOs and organizations, so they understand the dynamics of organizations, because organizations themselves can be an excellent vehicle to fulfill your commitment to the community in different ways. And all of us have different talents. And I think it's important for the organization to have what they call succession planning, where they're able, you know, alhamdulillah, to make it as transparent as possible, invite broadly the community or the youth, and they can be part of a almost like a shadow committee and get to understand, you know, the organization, because the young people themselves can share with you very fresh insights into how an organization should run. The other very important thing is this, that especially in organizations, we must be able to give leadership, and if you find that we need to allow others to take responsibility, we need to do that, and because everyone has unique talents, unique ideas, because the landscape around us has changed radically, and sometimes you may not have the intellectual stamina, the energy, the commitment and dedication to respond to new challenges. And that's one of the things, and often what can happen, that these organizations can become anachronistic. It does not fulfill the real needs of what an organization is all about. And I think also the organizations should do what you call a SWOT analysis, and to look at the strengths and weaknesses, opportunities and threats, and then look at some meaningful plan as to how the organization can move from good to great. And sometimes this requires some little tweaking here and there, some change in the portfolio, some change in the organizational structure, and some change in the activities and its organization. In that way, I think, you know, the amongst the many things, and the point that you made is perhaps the most critical aspect, that you are here for a purpose and you're doing it only for Allah.
That is the most important part of any work of deen, whether it's the imam or whoever else it may be. The fact that you are doing it only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that you want acceptance only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the most important part out of any effort of deen, and that is the success of any effort of deen.
Yes, that is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. It is why it brings us almost to the end of our program today. A little bit of advice for the day of Eid, inshallah, because looking at the moon, Eid could either be on Wednesday or on Thursday. So, Eid could either be on Thursday or on Friday. So we may not be able to speak next week, Thursday. We may be eating nice biryani or roast chicken or something by this time. So,
you must think about me, right? Send me one DHL.
I'll courier some down to you, some burfi also with it, inshallah.
No. I say to people, what is you know, critical, that we in the day of Eid, even before that, you know, people must do what they've never done before. You know, one of the things that they don't do is they do not, for example, hug. You know, one of the things that what I find very, very difficult to understand when I speak to people, I find it so hard that someone tells me that I see my mom and dad every day, but I only hug them on Eid day. Can you believe that? I can't, I find it very hard to believe that, you know. It's something that must come naturally, and parents need to, even if you have never done it before. And remember this, and a part of life is this, that if you want to win someone's heart and affection, even though the other person may be at fault, you go and stretch out your hand. You go and say, listen, I know we've been through some difficult times, but, you know, please forgive me if I have done something wrong, even in your own mind, you know, the other person has been responsible for some of the wrong. And we've got to be open-minded men. What? We are going to be here, and we want, and Allah will only, you know, grant us Jannah because of His mercy. Because we can never do enough. We can pray 24 hours a day. That will not be enough to attain Jannah. Only and only and only and only through His mercy, through His benevolence, through His magnanimity. So I think we need to understand that. And say to yourself, come on, are we connecting with our family? If not, let us connect this week. Let us spend little time. And I do not want husband and wife to compete. Oh, no, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not prepared to come there. I'm going to go. And this is unnecessary, man. You know, unnecessary. So I want to make dua, inshallah, that the families themselves reconnect and they are happy and have your children around you. Our kids spend a lot of time away from us, but on your day, I mean, spend time, you know, it's not about going throughout the world and being like a, going to shopping malls now and being like a fashion model and all of that, you know. To me, to me that's completely uncalled for. Reconnect with your families, make dua for members of your family, spend the day, laugh, cry, whatever it is, but do it to the family.
Inshallah, Aziz, Jazakumullah khairan, Idris bhai. Shukran for your
Allah,
time.
If you don't talk, may you have a blessed Eid. May Allah accept all your duas and everyone listening on the radio station. And may you and your Shushu Bablina love each other. And inshallah, may you meet in Jannah.
Ameen, ameen, ameen. Jazakumullah khairan, Idris bhai, for your time. We'll speak to you next week or maybe the week after, depending on Eid.
Inshallah, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Shukran jazilan to the listeners for joining in on the program today. And shukran to my studio operator, Brother Ziyad, from Junaid Jasat on this Thursday. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.